stand for this remaining of this first scripture here. I'm going to just read this first scripture, and then after that, you go ahead and take a seat, and I'll stand the rest of the way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, verse 23. We've been talking about the four enemies of the heart, and it's been tremendous last week. And if you weren't here, I encourage you to go online. We do have it online. I was able to upload that message. And so I encourage you to get it. If you have your church app, you can just download the church app, the VO Conquer Church app. Just get that, and then you can see or hear that message. It was talking about bitterness and anger, and how that that becomes a stumbling block, right, for some of us. It becomes a stumbling block, but also it could become a stepping stone. Somebody shout amen. It could be a stepping stone to a higher place for you. And so I encourage you to get that message if you can. I preached last week. I encourage you to get it. Amen. This title of the message is this. I love this title because a lot of us deal with this. Is that when the heart attacks. Amen, somebody. When the heart attacks. When the heart attacks. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. He says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. I pray that you have your way here this morning. I pray you examine our hearts. I pray that you search our hearts this morning. Lord, you know what we need to hear today. You know the words of life that we need to have here today so that we can leave this place different than when we came in. I pray that you have your way. Be glorified and magnified through your word. In Jesus' name, everybody says,
amen.
I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to tell them this. When's the last time you had a checkup? Oh, go to take a seat after that. Some of us didn't know how to answer that one. It's been a while. Some people are afraid of the doctors. Isn't that true? There's some people are the opposite. They like to go to the doctors almost every week. They go like every other day to go to the doctors. But some people just don't like to go to the doctors because they don't want to hear what the doctors have to say. And the doctors might have good news, they might have bad news. And you don't want to hear about your blood pressure being up. Amen. You don't want to hear that you're going to need to go on a diet. Amen. You don't want to hear that you got to stop doing what you've been doing. Stop drinking cocaine. Oh, no, cocaine? No, Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola. Stop doing that. Amen. All that. Amen. Stop doing all that. You know, the doctor will tell you things. You know, and we've been talking about the four enemies of the heart. And I was praying this whole week about the message. I had a message that I prepared, and I was explaining this to my wife, and I just went back and forth and back and forth. But I discovered that this is a problem that we have today that I really need to address. We've been talking the last three subjects we've been talking about is your mouth. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you got a big mouth. That's right. Yes, you do. And it gets you in trouble. Right? Because out of your heart speaks, out of your mouth speaks your heart. And jealousy, when you have unhealthy desires, right, that you're pursuing, that would cause you to have a bad heart. The other one that we just spoke about, like I mentioned earlier, was hurt. The hurt and bitterness that we have to deal with, if you don't get rid of it, it'll be like cancer in your life. It'll actually eventually destroy everything that you're trying to build. Amen? And this subject here today that I'm going to address is a subject that I feel like it's been talked about over and over again. Doctors talk about it over and over again. I dealt with it as well. I hear it all the time in my men's recovery home. I hear it in the church whenever I counsel people. This causes people to run. This causes people to hide. This causes people to medicate themselves. This causes people to have problems everywhere where they go. And this problem is anxiety. Amen. The fourth enemy of the heart is anxiety. What is the definition of anxiety? One person defined it this way: trying to control something out of our control. And in the Greek, when they mentioned anxiety, as I was talking about earlier, it mentions this word called merinma. And what this means is to be drawn into opposite directions and to be divided into parts. Figuratively, it talks about going into pieces. You're going into pieces and you're falling apart because of anxiety. Anxiety is distracting. It harms our ability to have priorities set straight. It fights against contentment and trust. Anxiety often is a stress response, and it can have physical symptoms, as you probably noticed. You start getting headaches, or you start being sick in certain ways. You start having nausea, or even your muscles get tense, or you start sweating, or you even have back pains. It does all kinds of weird things to our body when we're dealing with anxiety. This is something that I hear when I counsel people. Pastor, I have anxiety. Pastor, I don't know what to do with this anxiety. And so this scripture that we heard earlier, it says, keep your heart with all diligence. What that means is search your heart, keep your heart. You mean just watch out what's making your heart bad. You have to look, because there springs the issues. How many have issues? Only James has issues. Amen. So that's why I say you don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want to know about my issues. I don't want to know about my issues. And the Bible talks about there springs the issues of life. Why? Because when your heart is bad, issues arise. And so here, anxiety, it is infused into your heart, and it gives you somewhat of a heart attack. I remember going to the doctor, and I've shared this before. I went to the doctor thinking I had a heart issue. And the heart issue that I had, I thought was physical. I went into the doctors and I asked them to search my heart or to check out my heart because I feel like something is wrong. And so he began to check my heart. And how many have ever got their heart checked? Right? All those older 50. Amen. Praise the Lord. Better get your heart checked, right? I was racing. They gave me a Coca-Cola. They gave me all kinds of stuff to get my heart pumping. And they searched it. They made it. They checked it, everything. And then after they finished all their testings, they came back to me and said, your heart is okay. And I said, okay. He goes, I think you're dealing with anxiety. You're having an anxiety attack. And I was like, how can that be? My life was okay. I had, you know, a beautiful wife, amen. I had some kids, amen. I had a job, I had a car, I had things that a lot of people don't have. And I'm thinking, man, I'm blessed today. I'm saved, I'm in church, right? I was saved too. I was going to church, there's things that I was dealing with. And I don't know why I was anxious. And I was like at a place where I was kind of confused. And I remember the doctor even trying to prescribe to me medicine. He says, maybe you just need some medicine. Maybe you need this antidepressant. Maybe you need this medication to help you with this anxious feeling that you get. And how many know the doctors, they're quick to prescribe us medicine. Amen. And you're quick to receive it too. Oh, amen. Come on, somebody. Let's tell the truth here this morning. Oh, give me some more medicine. I like some more medicine. And so we take all this, and the doctor, you see, right now, society, we're dealing with anxiety issues in this world today. That's why the doctors will prescribe medicine to you. If you see a psychiatrist, they'll also prescribe medicine if they spend some time with you and it says, okay, I just spent enough time with you. Okay, I'm just going to give you a pill now. You might be suicidal, and the only thing I can do is fix that is give you a pill. But how many know in church, we need the gospel. Amen, somebody. We don't need a pill. We need the word. You see, what the doctors couldn't do, what the psychiatrist couldn't do, because they can't be with you every day. They can't be with you at night. They can't be with you with your wife. They can't be with you at your job. But how many know we have Dr. Jesus in the house? You see, what the world can't prescribe, Jesus can prescribe to you here today. Amen. What you need is a dosage of my presence. What you need is me being next to you. The Bible says Jesus sticks closer than a brother. He's there with you through your thick and thin, through the darkest hours of your life. How many know he shines in the night? Amen. He makes it bright in your life to say, you know what? There is a light at the end of the tunnel. You don't have to be anxious. How many know Dr. Jesus is in this house? Dr. Jesus, I wanted to let your neighbor know and tell them right now that Dr. Jesus will heal you. Dr. Jesus is going to heal you today. Jesus is in the house. That makes all the difference. And we were just talking about that. I was talking about that with somebody last night that confirmed the word even this morning. I was thinking, you know what? Sometimes people call it a sickness. People call it a disease. People call it all kinds of stuff. They call your addiction a disease. They call everything has to be labeled disease. You have a disease. You have a sickness. You have a problem. And people just prescribe pills to every single issue. But how many know Jesus makes the difference in everybody's life? It doesn't matter if you're lonely, hurting, depressed. God can make a difference in everyone's life because Dr. Jesus makes the difference. Because he's the only one that could search your heart. He knows what you have deep in your heart that's causing all the problems. He'll spend the time with you. He'll deal with you. He'll convict you. He'll open up your heart and says, oh, this is what you got inside. All this ugliness is causing all this anxiety in your life. This is what needs to be resolved overnight. This is not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen over time. Because guess what? Jesus loves to spend time with us. He loves to spend time with you. He wants to get to know you. He wants you to get to know him. He wants to spend time with you. The Bible says he wants to commune with you. He wants a fellowship with you. He wants to be there with you. All along, we're trying to solve this problem physically, and all along, it's a spiritual issue. We're trying to give it an antidote. We're trying to give it a fix. And it's all along, it's something that Jesus is the only one that can solve. You see, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength, right? People try to escape. People try to go to places to escape. They try to do this and do that. All along, they just want to be happy. And this is what I've noticed. With some people, all they want to do is go shopping. Am I talking to church here today? Come on, somebody. All you want to go do is shop. I just want to forget about all my problems and go to Ross. Amen. Go to Walmart. This is my wife's favorite place is Walmart, Ross, and the secondhand store. Amen. She'll shop all day long at the secondhand store because she can get a lot of stuff for $5. Amen. So, she'll come back happy and, you know, yay. And I said, do we really need that? That stinks. I go, that stinks like old man. Amen. I go, really? Do you really want that? You know, but she loves shopping. You know, some people do different things to make themselves happy. You know, and the Bible talks about that because God wants to make you happy. Don't you know that? That God wants to make you happy. Even the Apostle Paul said, I think myself happy. God wants us to be happy. And the Bible says in Psalm 77, verse 6, it says, I call to remembrance my song. How many got a song here today? You know what I'm talking about, your jam, right? You got that jam, amen, that you could run to and get you that joy back, amen? Well, right here, says, I come to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart and my spirit makes diligent search. He says that song. See, we've been singing this morning. If you notice, we were singing pretty good. Amen. My daughter was singing pretty good. She was up there jumping and screaming and shouting. Amen. Amen. She was up there just doing that. One of my jams is that I like to sing this one, is Jesus has set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Come on. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. I sing that over and over again until I get my joy back. Amen. The other one I like that we've been singing lately at our church, if there's no reason for sadness, you bring joy in my soul. You turn my mourning to gladness, and now I sing a new song. Come on. All night long, all day long, I will sing of your great love. No one else could have done all the things that you have done. Come on. There is what? Come on. Oh, whoa. We just sung that song. I'll sing that in the shower. I'll sing that in the car, amen. I'll sing that everywhere we go. And you know, I got to spend some time with Gabriel Ortiz, the one that wrote that song. And when I spent some time with him, he was a little discouraged. Believe that, he wrote that song. And he was a little discouraged at that time, and I was like kind of encouraging him and his wife. I was sitting there, and him and his wife, they were when I was in Panama, he was there in the missionary house. And I got to spend time with both of them, and I was just ministering to them. I found myself just encouraging him. And then I saw what he went through, and he says in his deepest hour, he wrote the greatest songs. You know, when you're going through your deepest, darkest moments of your life, how many know greatness can come out of that? Amen. Greatness can come out of that. I was just sharing with them. I go, you know, your songs, they inspire me. They enlighten my mood. They change my whole thing about how I look on life. Even that song, it's the song. It travels all over the world now. And I go, see, in your darkest hour, God can turn everything around. Maybe there's something deep that needs to come out, that needs some darkness, that needs to be in that place of aloneness. Well, God will show you what's really going on in your life. And so if you're taking notes here today, I want to give you four things that you could take home with you. And how to deal with this anxious heart that is infused in our lives that causes to have, so to speak, a heart attack. And if you're taking notes, I want you to write these four things down. Number one, everybody say reject. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, you're not a reject. Amen. Reject. They're all going to start with R's. Amen. So they help you to remember them. Reject. And the Bible says in Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, cast all your cares upon him for what? He cares for you. It talks about cares. You know what that means? If you really defined it, if you really look at it, it means that you need to put your trust in God that he will catch what you give him. Right? He will catch what you cast it. You give it to Jesus. Don't take it back, but give it to him. In the New American Standard Bible, it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It talks about an anxiousness. Just cast all those things to God. And it talks about it in Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. You know what God wants to do? He wants to help you go through your problems. Just, you know, sometimes we just want to just wallow in our problems. You know, sometimes you just want to get stuck in that place where you just feel like nobody cares. But how many know Jesus cares for us? Somebody shout amen. Amen. Jesus cares for you. And here we get stuck in that place, but he wants to sustain you. He wants to help you through that process. And I like what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, verse 8 says, but be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, everybody say the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. You know what that is? Is that when you're at this place where you're dealing with anxiety, right here, you need to reject the lies of the devil. Everybody say reject. Reject the lies of the devil. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Reject all the things that the devil's been feeding you. All the things that he's been feeding your spirit. He's been calling you names. How many know the devil's been calling you names? You know what he's calling you? Loser. Amen. He's calling you no good for nothing. He's calling you all kinds of names. Why even try? He says, give it up. He even calls you a clown. Were you going to let the devil call you a clown? Do you let anybody call you a clown? Right? No way. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, I ain't coming to let no one call me a clown. Oh, come on, somebody. And see, if you get to that place where you allow the devil just to give you accusations, because the Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that lies. He's the father of all lies. He'll lie to you. He'll tell you that you're never going to amount to anything. You're not going to do anything. You'll never overcome this hurt and pain that you've been going through life. He's going to tell you this and that. He's going to tell you all kinds of stuff. He'll constantly lie to you. And so sometimes we believe the lie. Yeah. Sometimes you got to reject. Everybody say reject. Yeah. Refuse the lies of the devil. You see, when we're at this place, he makes an opportunity to come in. And he says, be sober. Some of you guys don't know what that means. Oh, come on, somebody. Be sober. That means be clear-minded. Be sharp and alert. Because how many know when we're drunk, you can't even see what's in front of you. The devil just wants to knock you out right there, boom, because it's easy. You just fall down. You don't even have to touch it. You fall by yourself. Amen. Because you're not sober. You're not clear-minded. You need to know when the devil is lying to you and reject his lies. Everybody say reject. Yes. The other thing that we need to do is replace. Everybody say replace. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, everybody say pure, whatever things are lovely, hello, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is any praiseworthy things, meditate on these things. Just replace these thoughts. Sometimes, if we can't reject them, because they constantly bombard us. You know when they come at us? They come at us at night. When you're sitting in your bed. And when you're laying alone. All the thoughts. And you become anxious because you're like wondering how to solve all these problems. But how many know that we need to replace them with the Word of God? We need to replace those thoughts with the Word of God. We need to replace all those things that the devil is throwing our way and even our thinking. But how many know that we need to replace it with, I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. If He's before me, who can be against me? I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. That's what you got to replace it with. You need to replace it with the what?
Word.
The Word. That's why we need to read the Word. You need to get this Word and read it. Get this Word in your spirit. Get it in you so that you could know what the truth is and define what a lie and the truth is in your life. You see, we need to replace it with the Word of God. We need to replace those old thoughts and think of things that are good, things that are holy, things that are right. And you know, this is how you know. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinks, his heart is." So as you continue to think of things that are just constantly bombarding you and you don't believe anybody else but the lies of the devil, you begin to believe that you really are that person. But how many know that's not true?
Amen.
The third thing is this. We need to renew. Everybody say renew. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 23, it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Be renewed. And I love what Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says. "And do not be conformed to the world, but be what? Transformed." Everybody say transformed. "By the what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God." It talks about conforming. We've talked about that before. Being transformed. But I love what the other version says, the NIV. It says patterns. Everybody say patterns. What are your patterns? Sometimes when we get an anxious spirit and our heart begins to be at that place where you're feeling anxious about your life, we begin to isolate. That's a pattern. You begin to look to the bottle for the solution of the problem that you have. You begin to look at others to solve your problems. You look to the world to solve your problems. But how many know we need to look to heaven to solve our problems? We need to look to Jesus to solve the issues that we have today that we cannot solve on our own. We need God to help us through the situation. We need God to help us in our marriage. Somebody shout amen. We need God to help us with our children. How many here have children that need to be saved? Raise your hand. That's what you need help with. You need Jesus to help you with your children, because Jesus will chase after your children. I remember my son told me, he goes, "Dad, stop praying for me." Because everywhere he would go, something would happen. He would try to get high, somebody bust him out. So something happened everywhere he went because the Holy Spirit was chasing him down. And he came down all mad at me. He goes, "Dad, stop praying for me." Because I said, I'm never going to stop praying for you. Matter of fact, this is what I did. When he told me that, I got up at 3 in the morning, got some oil. Because, you know, well, you know what people are, right? They don't want to, they reject what you're trying to tell them. This is the one time he's asleep and he couldn't do nothing about it. So I slapped some oil on my hand. And I said, "Lord, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to cast this demon out of this kid." So I walked in the middle of the night. I walked to him, I was looking over his bed, and I was like the shadow over him. And he was like, he opened up his eyes and freaked out. I said, "In the name of Jesus, Lord, heal this kid, deliver him, I cast that devil out." I started praying. "What are you praying for?" I need to get that demon out of you. He's saved today. Hello, somebody. He's saved. I did that to Victoria too. Cast that demon out of her too as well. Amen. And Vanessa, I think Vanessa was different. She prayed for me. Hello. I woke up in the middle of the night. She was like praying for me. I was like, "What the heck?" It was different with her. Amen. She's different. That's why she's in Panama. Amen. But you know, that's what we do, you know. We just need to break those patterns. Break those things that causes us to go back to that place that we used to be in. The last thing is this, and I'm going to just leave you with this, is number four. Everybody say number four, revive. Revive.
Revive.
Turn to your neighbor, tell them you need to revive that heart. You know, sometimes people have this problem with their heart and their physical hearts, that they're dealing with issues of their heart. And you might even have cholesterol that's giving you an issue. You might have high blood pressure that's giving you an issue, amen? You might have whatever issue that you have in your heart right now. There's things that are going on. And you might go to the doctor right now, and the doctor is telling you, you need to fix this, you need to take this pill, you need to do that. But when you come to God, God does something else. He says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, says, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Well, know what God says? First thing you need to do is get your heart right. Just get your heart right. Just get it right. If you could just get it right, I could revive you. I could renew you. I could get you vibrant again and renewed again. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 14, the Bible says the backslider in his heart is filled with their own ways. He says, but a good man will be satisfied from above. Somebody say amen. You see, sometimes we come to church and you might be praising him. You might be here singing and everything else. You come to church maybe in dress good. But you know, you might be singing, but your heart is far from him. You need to draw near to him and he will draw near to you. See, sometimes we could do all the religious things that we normally do. But God is not looking for religion. He's looking for a relationship. Yeah. I'm going to preach to myself. Amen. He's looking for a relationship. I'm preaching pretty good. I don't know. Come on. He's looking for a relationship. Relationship. He's looking for you to commune with him. He wants to revive you. He wants to steer you up to serve him. But sometimes we're just at this place where we're just feeling like people need to solve our problems. Things need to solve. Jesus is the only one that can revive your heart. If you're dealing with an issue right now, you see, this is how you know that you're dealing with this problem, because the Bible talks about depression. Everybody say depression.
Depression.
Depression causes a problem every time, and it has an issue because all of a sudden the Bible says that when you are anxious, you will be depressed. When you're depressed, you need to come out. You see, what depression is that when, let me get James over here. Come over here, James. Let me stand above you. All right, get down on your knees. Get down on your knees. I'm pretty heavy, so try to get up. Sit down. You had a hard time getting up? You had a hard time getting up. That's what depression does. It depresses you down. It holds you down from going up. You see, God wants to take you to another level. God wants to revive you so he can revive your family. God wants to do something in you so he can do something through you. You see, the anointing has to flow through you. You see, the anointing comes to you so they work through you, so that you could be used by him. But the revival will come in from us. When you steer it up, I believe that God is going to steer this church up. That God is going to steer the city up. That God is going to steer your family up. That God's going to do a work in your life, and God's going to work through your life. Somebody shout amen. This city needs revival, but the people need to be revived first. Your heart needs to be revived. Your heart needs to come clean before God. Your heart needs to be changed, because when your heart changes, your life changes with it. Depression has to leave. Oppression has to leave. Anxiety has to go. Things have to go. Why? Because you revived your heart through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He says in Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, says, if my people who are called by my name will just humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal what? Their land. The land here today is your heart. Your heart is the land today. God wants to heal your broken heart. God wants to heal what's going on inside of you today. He wants to revive you so much that your fire will be so great that every morning you're going to want to pray. You're going to want to read your Bible. Because how many here have ever been at a fireplace that you need to put some fire in? Right? I love fire. I don't like getting burned, but I like fire. I like getting close to fire. I love looking at fire. I like the smell of fire. I love getting around it and kind of just walk around the fire like this and get everything warm. Amen. Praise the Lord. Right? You get by the fire, but what eventually what you got to do is you got to feed the fire. You got to feed that fire. And guess what you feed it with? Your flesh. You feed it with the sin of everything that you've been dealing with. You feed that fire. You get that. I need to be clean before God. I need. If God wants to give me something new, I need to be a clean vessel so that He can pour into me. So I'm going to pour that thing so that the fire will burn in your life. Oh, somebody. You don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know if I'm preaching to the right church this morning. Am I preaching to the right church? I don't know. Right? I don't know. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, are you the right church that I'm preaching to? Come on. Are you the right person? Because I believe God wants to set you on fire for Him. You see, these are the four areas that I believe that the enemy is trying to manipulate. Number one, he tries to reject. Don't hold on to it. Give it to Jesus. Everybody say, give it to Jesus. Replace it. Old thinking with new thinking. Renew it. Change your patterns and create new ones. Revive. He says, come to Dr. Jesus. Amen. And let Him heal your sick heart. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 2, hope deferred makes a heart sick. But when His desire comes, hello somebody, it's the tree of life.
Come on.
It is the tree of life.
Yeah.
That's what happens over time. I can have Victoria make her way up. Is that our hope, everything that we go through in life gets deferred. How many here like to wait?
Nobody
likes to wait, right? That's why you go to a fast drive-thru, amen?
Yeah.
McDonald's has made a lot of money because nobody likes to wait, right?
Yeah.
Starbucks, right? If you don't get it within 2 minutes, you're all mad. Like, you haven't made my triple latte espresso with double pumps and everything else in it with my, extra shot of espresso. And I like what my wife does. Give me an espresso with no a caffeine in it. I go, what? What is that? No caffeine? What is it? It's just dark juice. Amen. What is it? When we go to Starbucks, we go to these places and we want things fast and we get mad and upset. Sometimes that's what we have. That's what we do with God. That's why anxiety kicks in. Because you're trying to resolve these issues. You're trying to get it fixed now. God, I want a job now. I want this problem to be fixed today, right now, this minute. And sometimes we get anxious. Sometimes you're just feeling like, man, why is this happening to me? And I always said, it's not that it's happening to you, but it's happening for you. God wants to work in you so He can work through you, right? So, you know, it's sometimes you get stuck in that place where you feel like God is not working in our behalf. And we're saying, why is He delaying? And why is He holding back? And why are my children not saved yet? Why am I not getting the increase like I've been praying for? Why is not these things not happening? And you become anxious. And so when you have an anxious heart, your heart attacks. And then when your heart attacks, you begin to do... Can I say it? Can I say it? Is your children... I know you got some kids in the house. Maybe I shouldn't use that word. Is that okay? Is it okay? Stupid things. Hello, somebody. You begin to go do things you shouldn't be doing. You go to the clubs, you go to the bars, you go to things that you shouldn't be going to because your heart is getting attacked and bombarded by life and issues overwhelm you. You're like, you don't know what to do with some things that are just coming at you. You have money problems, issues, relational problems. You have issues with people and your mom, your dad. You don't know what to do with the situation. Your heart is being attacked. And so you want to run to things, run to those things. But what we need to do, can somebody shout amen to this? Run to Jesus. That's what we need to do. We need to run to Jesus, run to Jesus, run to Jesus. I always say this, don't fall back, fall forward before the Lord. Say, Lord, help me because I'm struggling. Fall forward on your knees. Fall forward. Get there. Go past the darkness and go past the weariness and go past those times where you feel anxious. Just get through it. Cast your cares upon Him because He cares for you. Get past through it because the devil is attacking. Your heart is being attacked by different things. But how many know we have a defense? We have a defense. God is able to help us defend those things. And the Bible talks about our armor. It talks about the shield of faith. It's talking about putting on the helmet of salvation. It talks about we are equipped for battle and that we can win this war. You see, you might lose a battle, but how many know we haven't lost the war? Somebody shout amen. You might have been struggling with issues. You might have fell back for a minute, but how many know we need to get back up? Get past the anxious heart. Your heart is being attacked by different things. When the heart attacks, you need to start using what God has given you to use to fight against those things. Don't look for a pill, but look for gospel. The gospel that can help you with that problem that you have, the issues of life. You see, we're all getting attacked here. The fourth enemy of the heart, anxiety. I believe all of us are dealing with it. You put on the news, I get anxious just watching the news. Hearing about all the young people dying in the school. Man, I get anxious. Man, I don't even want to go anywhere public anymore. I don't even want to go to a place where there's a lot of people because I get anxious. I'm just kind of worried if someone's going to bust out a gun. Right? How many, you guys feel the same way? I don't know. I'm feeling the same way. I get anxious, man. You know, we get anxious in the church. We're looking at everybody. Just, you got a gun on you, bro? You know? The only person I get anxious with is Brother Dan, you know, with the big old knife on his back. You don't know what I'm talking about, so yes, it's a knife. What's that knife? You know, just you get anxious with people. You get anxious. This world has a lot of things that makes us anxious. And if, you know, just we have taxes that are due. I mean, how many here are waiting for money to come back, but some are waiting to pay money back? You feel anxious. You have your mortgages to pay, your rents to pay. Things are bombarding you. Then if you're married, you got your wife. That's all I got to say about that. Amen. You got your husband. You got issues. You got things, you know, just bombarding you. Just issues keep coming. Your heart is being attacked by all these things constantly. We need church. We need church. Don't you feel weary sometimes? I see you. You crawl into church. Pastor, I'm here. I barely made it, but I'm here. You're crawling to church, I know, because your heart has been attacked. You've been in the battle for so long. Drama at home, problems, issues. You've been attacked. You're coming to church, you're struggling, you're trying to come in. But thank God for church, because this is what's called a refuge. This is a place where you can get away from the madness and find God in the middle of your problems. This is where we invite you to come in into the presence of God. Come to this altar and experience His presence. Lift your hands. Lift that anxious heart to God and say, I cast my care upon you because I know that you care. I know if I throw it to you, you're going to catch it. I know you're going to take care of me. I know that you don't just leave me as an orphan, but you're going to take care of me as a son and as a daughter. You will care for me in my darkest hour. You will carry me through my darkest pain. You will get me through my addiction. You will set me free of those that hold me down. You will give me hope when I'm hopeless. You will give me love when nobody loves me. You will give me joy when I'm miserable. You will help me through the struggles and the pain. It is Dr. Jesus that's in the house. He wants to heal your pain. He wants to deliver you from whatever that's healing you today. Dr. Jesus is in the house. Hope deferred makes a man sick, heart sick. Oh, but I thank God for an answer. A good word makes it better. And you know what else? Laughter is a medicine to the heart. Smile and know that God is in control. God is in control. How many here felt like your heart has been attacked? Raise your hand. Your heart has been attacked. Emotional instability. Things that are taking place in your life. Uncontrollable issues that you have no control of. That you're going to have to give to Jesus and let Him handle it. In His timing, not yours. He's not a drive-thru that you can just go there and order number one or number two. Hello, somebody, right? But He's a man that says, you know what? I'm going to do this. I love when my wife cooks because I know that when she takes her time, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I want it now, though. I smell that. I smell that chicken. Amen. I smell that carne asada, right? Come on, somebody. I smell that rice, the beans. I smell it. It's coming. It's coming. But she's taking her time. And then I also, I've noticed that the messier the kitchen is, the better the food.
Oh, yes.
I noticed that. I don't complain about the kitchen no more. I said, It's dirty. I mean, something good's coming. The pots are everywhere. Dishes are everywhere. All the spices are out. Whoa, this is, hey, hallelujah. I'm excited about eating this meal. I believe spiritually that's what happens to us. We can smell it coming. We can feel it coming. And maybe your life is a mess. Because out of your life, he wants to make a message. And out of your life, he wants to make a miracle. And out of your life, he wants to turn everything around to make you a trophy of God's grace and mercy. You see, you might be in a mess, and it's okay. Maybe because you made the mess. But Jesus has been cooking. He's been working it out. He's been dealing with your issues. And maybe that mess brought you to Jesus. Maybe that mess brought you to Jesus. Maybe that mess that you were in brought you to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And brought you to the place where your heart was being attacked. You said, God, help me in my heart. Help me to have a healthy heart. So I can serve you with all my heart, mind, and soul. Everybody bow their heads at this time. And just examine your heart like David did. David examined his heart. He searched his heart on a regular basis. Because he knew that this heart was desperately wicked. Who would know it? The Bible talks about our hearts having issues. Several issues. Only God can help this anxious heart that's been attacked by the devil and that has been attacked by the world and by our worries. He's able to help you through the process to get to the other side. And you say this morning, I really want prayer this morning. I really want prayer for my anxious heart. Things that I'm dealing with right now, I'm getting attacked. And if that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand. God bless you in the back. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you right there. Bless you right there. Bless you in the back. This anxious heart, causing problems, causing you to do the things you shouldn't be doing, going places you shouldn't be going to. You're trying to resolve this anxious heart. You're trying to numb the pain. But the doctor Jesus wants to come and heal you. He wants to help you through it all. Many hands been raised. And the number one thing that I want to ask here today, I want to ask it because I need to know if there's anybody here today that don't know Jesus. You want to give your heart to Jesus? If that's you here this morning, you said, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to surrender my life. I want to surrender my heart to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It's been stomped on. It's been stabbed. It's been hurt. I need Jesus to heal my heart. I want to give it to him, the healer, the doctor. And if that's you here today, you say, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want you to raise your hand. God bless you right there. God bless you right there. Anybody else that says, I want to give my heart to Jesus? It's up to you. If you want to do it, this is your opportunity. That's a great start right now. Get your heart right so that God can get your life right. If that's you here this morning, if there's anybody like that, I want to give that opportunity. Amen. Let's all stand this morning. This is what I want to do. It's like, you see, we can have a good facade. We can put on a mask. And we can look good. I like what a girl said to me the other day. Good thing, honey. She said, I'm not going to tell you who it was. And it's not my wife. She came to me and said, I'm going to put my face on. Hey, you can put your face on? Man. You girls know what that means, right?
Yeah.
And in my mind, I'm thinking, that's what we do. We put our face on. When people come to you and they ask you how you're doing, oh, I'm great. But your face is showing that you're great, but your heart is saying, I'm sad. You don't know that I cry at night because of what I've lost and what has been done to me. You have a face that says I'm okay, but your heart is saying something totally different. That's why the Bible talks about with your mouth, you praise me, but your heart is far from me. And that's what you got to come clean with God. You say, God, you know, I'm not here to put a facade on. I'm not trying to be Mr. Perfect or Mrs. Perfect. I'm just trying to be real with God and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready just to just come clean before the Lord and let God really do a work in me and change me. And so I'm going to do this. I'm going to have an altar call in a minute. And all those that raised their hand earlier and those that just feel like you need to come for prayer, I want to ask you to come on up because I believe God wants to do something.